This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Today, much of the hour will focus on a very public controversy. Two major companies have pulled funding from a production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar in New York. We'll talk more about the fallout over its none-too-subtle portrayal of the assassinated Roman leader. We begin with another political drama shrouded in more than a little secrecy. Senate Republicans are refining their bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. But what's in the bill remains unclear. It will be sent to the Congressional Budget Office for review in the next few days, but the text of the bill will reportedly not be made public. Let's discuss that with NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, welcome back to 1A.
Good morning, Joshua. Good to be here.
So not making the bill public, is that? That seems odd.
It is odd. And it is unusual. It is not unknown that major pieces of legislation, especially in the later phases of the passage process, such as a conference report after a House and Senate conference on bills that they have separately passed, might come to the floor without much warning. And we have seen in recent years the House get increasingly interested in jamming something through if it feels it's going to be difficult to pass it, without a great deal of floor debate and without a great deal, really, of opportunity for the members to read it.
Remind us what's been happening up to this point. The House finally mobilized enough House Republicans to pass the American Health Care Act, a bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, kind of after its second try.
That's right. The first time they came right to the brink and then pulled back and said, we don't have the votes. The second time they felt they did have the votes, they went for it. They had one vote to spare. And they did get it across the finish line, largely by jawboning and arm twisting some members who might not have been all that crazy about it, particularly a handful from California whose districts actually voted for Hillary Clinton for president and have a great number of Medicaid recipients. So it's going to be problematic for a lot of those House members. And the senators have been noticing. They know that talking about health care is hazardous to your health politically, and they know that actually writing a bill is even more hazardous, and actually passing something in the end is perhaps the most hazardous of all, because after that, you own every unhappiness there is in America about health care.
We're talking about the health hazards of repealing and replacing Obamacare on the Senate Republican side with NPR's Ron Elving. We're only discussing it for this segment. So if you have questions, please do send them in right away. NPR, email us 1A@WAMU.org, and NPR's Ron Elving will take on those questions. Comment on our Facebook page or tweet us at 1A. Well, it's clear that some Democrats in the Senate are paying close attention to this. Here is New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer.
It's red alert time. The Republicans are trying to sneak through an awful health care bill that would take away coverage for millions of people, hurt the elderly, hurt women. It's time to act now. Don't wait.
That's New York Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer. How would this, if Senator Schumer's characterization is correct, sneaking through this bill, how would that work? Do they just drop the bill at the last minute and say you've got X number of hours to approve it? Like, don't they have to? They've got to surface it sooner or later.
They have to surface it sooner or later, but it could be so late that it is not really timely in terms of reading it, and certainly not timely in terms of organizing opposition to it. And this is really, I think, what the senators are most trying to avoid. They don't want to have 2 or 3 weeks of run-up to the vote in which people all over the country are dissecting the bill and deciding they don't like it.
Here is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, speaking about the process of putting this bill together. Senator McConnell spoke to Reuters.
No, look, I think the health care bill in the Senate is going to be written by the senators, you know, and we're involved in extensive discussions 3 days a week with every single member, all 52 of us, trying to come up with an approach on health care that can get a minimum of 50 votes in order to pass the Senate.
That's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. What do we know about the process of putting this bill together?
It was taken over essentially by a task force of people who were terribly concerned about it and run by the leadership. That's Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, John Cornyn from Texas, and John Thune from the Dakotas. And these guys are the leaders of the whole Republican pack. They have basically just taken the process to themselves and said, all right, we've spent a lot of time talking about health care over the years. We all know we want to repeal Obamacare. to whatever degree we can. And we also don't want to leave too many people out in the cold. So how do we reconcile those two poles? And that is still the problem, because the more that you are concerned about minimizing the effect on Medicaid and Medicaid recipients, the less you can actually cut the overall cost, and the less you can lower health insurance premiums, and the less that you can advertise this as a truly conservative repeal of Obamacare root and branch. Same thing when you come to things like pre-existing conditions, which everyone wants to see covered. But at the same time, if you do that, you get the trade-offs of Obamacare, and you find that you can't lower insurance premiums as much as you would like. What the insurance companies want is certainty. They want to know what's going to happen. And with every passing month of greater and greater uncertainty about what's going to happen, maybe we'll still have Obamacare and the status quo. Maybe we'll have something radically different. Maybe we'll have nothing at all from the federal government. And it looks increasingly possible the Senate will plain old vote it down, and that will end the process for this year. That's all a lot of uncertainty for the insurers. That's why they're pulling out of the Obamacare exchanges.
Speaking of Obamacare, we did get some questions about the comparison between this and Obamacare. Mike emailed, "The observation is that it's not written and submitted yet. Neither was Obamacare when it was run through." Is that true?
In the House, there was very little time before the vote was taken there. And Rahm Emanuel, who's the chief of staff at the White House at the time, was saying failure's not an option. The one thing we're going to have is a bill, and we can discuss all the details, but there is going to be a bill. So that sounded a lot like what Mitch McConnell has sounded a lot like that in his failure is not an option statements and so on. But of course, in the end, the Senate has pretty much decided that it is going to have a vote. And it's going to have it before the August recess, which, by the way, is 5 weeks long and only leaves a few weeks before the end of the fiscal year and all the rules changing. So it is similar in the sense that they feel this tremendous urgency to get it through in whatever form. And then we'll take a longer look at it when we get to conference committee between the House and the Senate. But for the Senate, I should hasten to add, for the Senate to imitate the way this was done in the House, that's very unusual, and the Senate usually likes to be much more deliberative.
How many Senate Republicans are concerned about the way that this is being done, wanting to know a little bit more publicly what's in this bill so they can drum up support and so forth?
I do not want to try to read the minds of all 52 Republican senators, but my suspicion is that none of them wants to go back home on a given weekend and see a bunch of people who have read the bill or seen the bill or have been told things about the bill that they're angry about. They don't want that now. They don't want it over the 4th of July recess. And so they especially don't want that to happen before they've even had a chance to vote. So they will say publicly, well, we ought to do this by the rules, and we will do it by the rules. And there will be a number who are, especially those in the leadership, who will defend the sort of pig in a poke approach that they're taking. We're going to come up with something. Don't worry, you're going to love it. And on the last day, you're going to have to vote for it or not. That kind of approach, while it might make it possible to actually get the bill through the Senate, it might also lead to a shocking lack of 50 votes. And if they come up just a few shy, they don't have a bill, and it ends there.
Chip emailed, "How much is this closed-door behavior related to the Republican senators' fears of President Trump tweeting something really crazy that will make passage of any kind of compromise measure impossible?
It is perhaps a separate track from that. There is always a fear that any time you do anything in Washington these days, let's say you're the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, and you take a position on what's going on in the Gulf states with Qatar, and then suddenly within 24 hours, the president has tweeted out the 180-degree opposite position on the same controversy. That can have a rather shocking rug out from under your feet effect. And the senators have observed that with the cabinet. They know they're certainly not sacrosanct. And so they are very worried about the president's tweets. But it's something of a separate track from their most basic worry, which is what their constituents back home are going to think when they see the reality of the health care bill.
Dave emailed us, "The Republicans have been talking about repealing ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, for years. Why do you think they don't have an alternative to the ACA by now?"
Because they did not have to. And the only time anybody gets down to actually biting on these hard, hard nuts is when they have to, when the responsibility is theirs, when they have to pass a bill, when they have to actually make policy, because they know there's going to be a political cost. It might not be immediate. They might still win their next primary. But eventually, if people are unhappy with whatever comes out of this whole healthcare debate, they are likely to blame the Republican Party, which is now totally in charge in Washington, White House, Senate, and House.
But if there's a political cost to this, and our time is short, but the president campaigned and a lot of House and Senate members campaigned partly on a platform of doing this very thing. It's interesting to see how the calculus about political costs has shifted since November 8th.
Well, exactly. But the individuals will say in the House, they'll say, well, we passed a bill. It was that Senate that didn't do it. And then individual senators will say, I voted for it. I voted for the bill. I was good. I followed the party line. And then those few who do not, if it does go down, would say, I had to protect my state, fill in the blank. Maybe it's Maine. Maybe it's Alaska. Maybe it's another state that has a big commitment to Medicaid and where a lot of people would be hurting if you really did scale that back. So repealing Obamacare means all kinds of different things to different people. And I think some of these senators are kind of counting on being able to go back to their own personal, their own individual state and survive on the basis of defending their vote, not necessarily defending the new law, because there may not be a new law.
Briefly, before I let you go, how much does it look like the Senate plan and the House plan will cohere? They've got to reconcile eventually.
They do eventually, but they will not in the form that the Senate votes on. The Senate did not pay that much attention to the House bill. In the end, in the compromise, in the conference, the two bills might not look that different, but right now they are quite distinct.
That's NPR senior editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Ron, thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure, Joshua.
Well, Ron's no theater critic, but we will bring in a few theater critics to talk about a different kind of political drama, one that is well known, Shakespeare's Tragedy of Julius Caesar. As part of our conversation about the performing arts in the age of Donald Trump, is depicting Julius Caesar as Donald Trump fair game, or is that over the line? I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.